From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you go by the latest projections from the Legislative Analyst's Office, California's budget deficit is getting worse. The LAO, which provides nonpartisan fiscal advice to California lawmakers, revised its January forecast from a $58 billion shortfall to a now $73 billion shortfall. But the LAO is just one fiscal analyst arm of the state. Last month, Governor Newsom's budget forecast from the state's Department of Finance projected a deficit as well, but a lesser shortfall of $38 billion. We're going to dive into the why in just a moment. But no matter who is at more accurate, the deficit is easy fuel during a pretty big election year. And ultimately, lawmakers and the governor will need to make some serious decisions ahead of a budget revision that is known as the May revise. Joining us to discuss are H.D. Palmer, Deputy Director for External Affairs with the Department of Finance, and Cap Radio Politics reporter Nicole Nixon. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hey, Vicky, how are you?
Doing good. Thanks for making the time, H.D. Okay, Nicole, I want to start with you. For someone who isn't really aware of all the inner workings of the state capitol, what is the Legislative Analyst's Office, the LAO? What does it do?
Yeah, the LAO is an office of analysts that advises the legislature on fiscal and policy matters. Several dozen, I think around 60 analysts in this office, and they are a nonpartisan entity.
And they advise state lawmakers, correct? So the legislative arm. And so when it comes to the budget cycle, there are some pretty important dates that you always remind us of when we're talking about the state budget. So let's get a refresher.
Yeah. So in January, early January, the governor is constitutionally required to present a balanced spending plan for the upcoming fiscal year, which begins in July. That's a very early thing because a few months later in April is tax day. After that is when the state has a good idea of how much money there actually is to work with. So the governor comes back in May and proposes a revised spending plan. And then after that is when the negotiations between what is called the Big Three, the governor, the Assembly Speaker, and the Senate President Pro Tem, really ramp up negotiations between those three to come up with a balanced budget that the legislature is required to pass in mid-June so that the governor can sign it by July 1st.
So about a month ago, as you mentioned, the governor did release the January proposed budget. It does follow a pretty unprecedented year. If you can just remind us what happened the January prior, which really delayed tax filings for the vast majority of counties in California.
Exactly. This is a unique budget year, not only because of this deficit, but because that tax filing deadline, tax day, usually in April, was delayed because of the extreme winter storms we saw last year. So that tax day was a bump to October, then again bumped to November. So not only are these taxes coming in below projections, the state is finding out about the scope of this problem months after the fact, months after it usually does. So just to review the deficit.
A lot of numbers.
Yeah. The deficit sort of where it's been. In December, the LAO came out and said the deficit was going to be about $68 billion. In January, Newsom proposed, you know, laid out his spending plan. He said it was a $38 billion deficit, much more optimistic. The LAO a few weeks later looked at that and said, well, actually, you're saying it's a $38 billion deficit, but you're actually solving for a $58 billion budget problem here. So and we can get into that $20 billion difference. So now it's been a month. The tax collections are still coming in below expectations. So that is why the LAO is now pegging the deficit at $73 billion.
And as I mentioned, the LAO is just one fiscal arm of state government. HD, you're with the Department of Finance. How does the Department of Finance work differently than the LAO's office?
Sure. Vicky, there are always going to be differences between the estimates that we do here at the Department of Finance and the legislative analysts. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is the timing on when we take our snapshots of the economy and revenues. We have to, in a normal year, lock our forecast down in late November, early December. The legislative analyst normally has a little more time to do that. The second reason is we have different revenue projections. Economists and forecasters can look at the same group of economic data and draw different conclusions. The third broad reason is different assumptions on spending patterns and what actions are needed to be taken on the spending side of the ledger. So Nicole kind of nailed it in terms of the run up to where we are. Our budget was projected, our budget shortfall was projected in January at $38 billion. The analyst was higher. And what the analyst has done now, I don't mean to speak for them, but I think it's fair to say that they've taken a short-term look at what cash receipts have been since then. And they've kind of projected out what they think based on that 1 month, the shortfall may be revenue-wise 3 or 4 months down the road. We'll have to see how that turns out. We've got about $51 billion come between personal income tax and corporate income tax that's due to be received over the next 3 months. A lot can happen with that. It could be higher or lower. One of the things that we here at finance try to caution against, either in a good time or a bad time, is not to take 1 month's worth of cash data and extrapolate out a long-term trend. And the reason for that is a lot of things can affect the timing on when we get our money. It's sometimes as simple as whether the first day of a month falls on a Friday or a Monday. To give you an example, we just published our recent revenue bulletin for the month of January that showed that receipts were about $5 billion overall below the month's forecast. One of the components of that is personal income tax withholding. We were down, relative to our forecast, we were down $1 billion in January. However, what we don't show there is we were actually higher by a half $1 billion in December. And even a couple of days in terms of when we get our receipts can have significant swings in those numbers, which is why we caution, again, in really good years as well as not great times like right now, we're careful not to take 1 month's worth of data because of those variances and extrapolate out or say, based on this, we're going to have this much of a surplus or this much of a shortfall, just because things can significantly change. One of the things that can change, obviously very significantly, that affects our revenues is what's going on in the financial markets. And that's because the stock market, and we can get into this later, plays such an important role in the personal income tax revenue that we receive in California.
That's why it's called a forecast and a projection. But even using the January projections from the LAO as well as the Department of Finance, $58 billion versus $38 billion in terms of a shortfall, that is still a $20 billion difference that may be hard for Californians to understand. What do you want them to understand about how that's possible?
Comes down to just some fundamental differences between our projections in terms of revenues. We don't take a forecast and say, let's run it up because we don't like the number. Let's, you know, erase it and put in or white it out and put in another $10 billion. That's not the way we do forecasts. That's not the way the LAO does their forecast either. We project that based upon what was going on, to get back to the stock market, 2022 is a very bad year for the markets. The S&P 500 dropped 19%. The NASDAQ, which is an index of 2,500 tech-heavy stocks, dropped 33%, the biggest drop since the 2008 Great Recession. Why does that matter to California revenues? It's because the very small group of taxpayers who primarily get a lot of their income from things like capital gains and stock options and bonuses tied to stock performance, that's personal income to them. So when the markets are doing well, they're doing great. And so are our revenues, and the reverse is true. And so one of the things that happened was 2022 stock market really hurt those investors and those taxpayers. And we saw a dramatic drop in revenue. As Nicole mentioned a moment ago, normally we would have had that information in hand last April when the tax receipts came in. But because of the unprecedented delay that the IRS had given the California taxpayers because of the winter storms from last winter, we didn't get a lot of that cash data until November, December. Neither did the LAO. And what happened was that we received about $26 billion less through November than we had projected back in May when we were having both to do our best estimate on how bad it was going to be. Had we had that $26 billion shortfall data in hand last spring, our deficit problem would have been bigger. The solutions to close it would have been more expansive, and the shortfall that we face today would have been a lot smaller than it is either by our yardstick or the legislative analysts. So a lot of factors come into play there. but part of it's timing. Part of it is the unusual nature of last year that Nicole was talking about. And part of it just has to do with differences in timing and forecasting. At the end of the day, we're going to have our numbers are going to be updated, as are the legislative analysts. Barring any big change, we hope that there's no delay in tax receipts. So April should be a, quote, normal end of, quote, month when we get our cash receipts on time and we've got a more accurate handle on what things look like before we revise the budget in May.
Do you expect, given that the LAO came back with a higher shortfall, like a $15 billion increase in shortfall this month, do you anticipate going back and increasing projections for a shortfall? Because currently it stands from the Department of Finance, Governor Newsom's office, $38 billion as of January.
The next update that we'll do on our shortfall estimate, Vicki, will be in May. That's when, as Nicole was saying, we present what's called the May revision or revised budget. And the reason we do a revised budget in May is simple. Things change in the economy over the course of 4 or 5 months since we do the January budget. Obviously, April is a significant month for tax receipts. It's the largest month of all 12 months for when we receive income tax payments, as everybody who files on April the 15th knows. So based on that critical cash data that we get in April and based on changes in the economy and on spending and on other things that are going on, we update our forecast both on revenues to take them up or down depending upon what the circumstances are, update our spending projections. We either have a larger or smaller shortfall this year. And a few years ago, it was the happy situation of a larger or smaller surplus. But in this case, it's going to be a larger or smaller shortfall. And we'll update that in mid-May. And that begins kind of the discussions in earnest about the final budget that has to be done by June the 15th.
Does the Department of Finance communicate with the LAO, or do the two of you work independently?
We communicate on a regular basis. We do an economic outlook conference in November where we bring in outside economists from state government to basically look at our preliminary numbers and say, lift up the hood, kick the tires. Are we too high here? Are we too low there? Are you people seeing anything in your expertise area that we ought to know about? And based on that information, we go back and fine tune or calibrate our forecast. The legislative analyst sits with us at that table. They're fully aware of the same data that we are. We share data on a regular basis. We oftentimes come to different conclusions because of different estimates. And this is certainly a larger difference, but there will always be certain differences between our projections and the analysts. And that's a function of timing and how, you know, two different entities can look at some of the same data and draw different conclusions.
Yeah, Nicole, given that your wheelhouse is state politics, like you've been following state budgets from one year to the next, but talking about this latest one, what stands out to you about these budget projections and how they can differ and they also can be updated in pretty drastic ways?
I mean, yeah, I think that obviously lawmakers are very concerned about the budget. It's like their top priority at this for the session, for this first half of the year. We heard from the Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas yesterday. He talked with reporters. He noted that it's early in the budget process. He has not met with the governor on that yet, but you know, he's concerned with the deficit. He's concerned with relying too heavily on the state's rainy day fund, which currently has about $38 billion in it. Here's him talking about that.
And I feel very strongly about, you know, we can't have these short-term some solutions for a long-term problem. You know, when you talk about utilizing reserves, that's why when I mentioned we've got to be very prudent, is we don't want to find ourselves in a scenario where the deficit is only going to balloon further in future years, and we're going to have less reserves as a backup.
Newsom now only wants to withdraw about half the money in the state's rainy day fund, around $12 billion. But the governor's spending proposal from last month would save about $10 billion for this deficit in some of those short-term fixes that Rivas says he's concerned about, delaying spending to future years, internal borrowing from other areas of the state, shifting how things are paid for. So I think it'll be very interesting to see how legislative leaders deal with this. Now, on the other side of the aisle, Republicans love to point out that Democrats, they feel, are overspending. And they point to things like high-speed rail, the amount of money the state has poured into homelessness, as, you know, areas that they feel the supermajority in California is overspending tax dollars. Mm.
What also stands out to you about what Rivas said when he gave his statements and talked to the media yesterday?
you know, it's that short-term thing. I think it'll be really interesting to see how lawmakers deal with this. The other thing worth noting is Rivas is less than a year into this position as speaker. The Senate just installed a new leader a few weeks ago as well. So the former leaders, Anthony Rendon in the Assembly and Tony Atkins in the Senate, will no longer be at that negotiating table with Newsom after 5-6 years of those two, those three negotiating over the budget. It'll be, you know, new legislative leaders. So it'll be interesting to see, I think, how that goes. And again, here's Rivas talking about another way the assembly wants to deal with this.
We're very concerned about short-term fixes for long-term problems. You know, clearly we need to prioritize oversight of current spending and of our investments. Our budget subcommittees are actually getting to work on this oversight just this week.
That spending oversight is something that Rivas and a few other lawmakers are really pressing this year. But these budget hearings in the legislature are just getting started, so it's not totally clear right now what areas they'll be looking at and what might get cut based on these hearings.
Yeah, HD, you have such important perspective because this isn't your first budget rodeo. I mean, you have been with the Department of Finance for governors across party line for both Republican governors and Democratic governors. What stands out to you about the budget situation and the shortfall that the state is facing this year?
A couple things. First, I'd like to go back just for a moment to the speaker's comments about the reserves. The administration agrees. Even Nicole is absolutely correct. The governor is proposing to withdraw only half of the balance from the state's rainy day fund and the budget stabilization account. Even after those proposed withdrawals into the governor's budget, we will still have reserves of more than $18 billion next year. And so the governor recognizes certainly that, you know, downturns can go longer than one fiscal year. And, you know, there are a lot of significant amounts of reserves that will remain even after we withdraw from the budget stabilization account, which is the formal name of the rainy day fund. And that and what why the governor is doing it is kind of the title for the reserve, budget stabilization. So we don't have to make difficult reductions in core programs and services that affect, for example, the most vulnerable Californians. That's what's different. You mentioned what's different from past budget difficulties. We have a reserve now. We have a dedicated reserve, the rainy day fund, that we didn't have in past downturns. When Governor Schwarzenegger had to deal with a dramatic shortfall in the Great Recession in 2008-2009, we didn't have the insurance policy that we do now. And I can remember very vividly discussing some of those proposals, which would be, for example, eliminating the state's welfare to work program, which is on the books an optional program. And that was not proposed as a smart or sound policy decision, but a way to deal with a dramatic shortfall. Even though we face a great challenge in closing the shortfall, to the extent that we have a benefit from before, we do have substantial reserves that have been built up, and the governor has been, you know, very insistent in recent years about let's build up the budget reserves that we have for not only the rainy day fund, but things like the safety net reserve, which has $900 million in it. That was specifically money that was set aside to deal with health and human service programs that provide needed services for vulnerable Californians. We're not proposing to drain that reserve. The governor's not. There's still about, a significant amount of money that will remain in a number of reserves, $3.4 billion next year in the special fund for economic uncertainties, the state's traditional budget reserve, nearly $4 billion in the budget reserve for schools. So there are proposals, and we may take, you know, there may be further proposals to take those reserves down. We don't know yet because we're going to have a much broader, much better, a much more timely picture of where things stand several months from now when we get those tax receipts in and when we update our forecast.
HD, thank you.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Becky.
And Nicole, never a dull time for you.
Thanks.
H.D. Palmer is the Deputy Director of External Affairs with the Department of Finance, joined by CAP Radio Politics reporter Nicole Nixon, and they are unpacking the latest projection from the LAO that is projecting a budget shortfall of $73 billion. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.